Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Spectacular. Can we please give all of our kids another massive round of applause? Don't be quiet. Phenomenal. What an awesome morning so far this morning. We're so blessed to bring the world of Beacon Kids down to the main stage, show you all what we do. I don't know why all the kids are sitting to the side. What's going on? It's ridiculous. Where are my middle people? Come on. That was your invitation to move, Matt and Ollie. Come on. Well, hey, we're so excited to be here this morning, bring everything from Beacon Kids down to the main stage. And today, I'm bringing a message, continuing our series of Heaven on Earth. And we're going to go through a bit of a parable, but the kids are going to help me out. Because let me be entirely clear, you adults scare the living daylights out of me. Let me tell you, it's something I've learned in kids' ministry. Kids are very judgmental to your face. You guys judge behind my back. Okay, so... But without further ado, we're going to have a look at this parable. So this is a parable that Jesus shared with his disciples, and this is the master. Yeah. One day, the master was going on a long trip. He called together all of his servants. These are his three servants. Yeah. Hey-o. How we doing? All right, anyway. The master entrusted his money to them while he was gone. This money was called talents. Well, hang on. No, not those kinds of talents. These talents were like bags of silver. A little bit like we got over here. But the master, before going on his trip, gave five talents to one of his servants. That's a lot of silver. Spectacular. He gave two bags of silver to his second servant. And finally, one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. We'll see you later. All right. The servant who received five bags of silver immediately began to invest and earned five more. Yes, you are. All right. The servant with two bags likewise also went to work and earned two more. I think those glasses are a bit big. Yep, she knows she's gifted, good at investing. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip. He called them together to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said,
"Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest and I have earned five more."
The master was full of praise.
"Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been good in handling this small amount. I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together."
Likewise, the second servant came forward and said,
"Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest and I've earned two more."
The master said,
"Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been good in handling this small amount. Now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together."
Then finally, the servant with the one bag of silver came and said,
"Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, and so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back."
But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant, and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver." I'm sure it's not. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. That is the end of the parable. Can we get the kids back? I'll give them a massive round of applause. Take a bow, boys and girls. You've earned it. There we go. Go and take a seat. Spectacular. How good is that? It's not kids' ministry without a little bit of chaos. We've got glasses that are approximately 5-10 million times too big for Paige's face. But that's okay. She worked them. All right. So, as I said before, we up in kids have been going through a series called Heaven on Earth. It's been pretty similar to what you adults have been learning about down here, which is after the death and resurrection of Jesus, after the cross has taken place and he's coming back to life, what happens for us next? What next? It's happened. The greatest moment in history. What next? And so we started by looking at what's called the Great Commission, right? These are the last words of Jesus in the book of Matthew. And it's talking about how God has a plan for all of our lives, but no matter what, that plan always comes back to this. It's Matthew 28, 19 to 20. So go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you. You can be sure that I'll be with you always. I'll continue with you until the end of the world. So, what does this have to do with the parable? Good question. They're very different sounding things. But in the parable that we looked at, the master, Eli, there he is, he's just come back in. Eli, playing the master, in this parable that Jesus tells, God is the master, right? So what did the master do at the very start of the story? Kids, do any of us remember? What did the master do right at the very start? Judah. He gave his servant silver. That's right. So in verse 15, he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. So what does God give us according to our abilities? If God is the master gave his servants silver according to their abilities, what does he give us? And we have been talking about this last few weeks up in kids and talking about all the different gifts that God has given us. So there are the spiritual gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians, but there's also so many other gifts that God has given us. Our personality, our characteristics, our all of our giftings, abilities, and talents. So who here, kids? I know we've got some talented kids this morning. Who's like an artist? Yeah, okay, we have one. We have two artists. Spectacular. Who's like the fastest sprinter? Yeah, okay. Mally, you run pretty quick. You're a speedster. I've seen you before. I couldn't catch you, that's for sure. Who here is like a good baker or a good cook? Yeah, Micah, you're a good cook. You're also a phenomenal drummer, by the way. Sorry, quick shout out there. Micah's first time playing drums down here on the big stage as well. Doing a phenomenal job. Who here is like the leader of their friend group? They are the big dog. Of course Ava is. You can tell by the sass. a good sass, I promise you. Who's like the encourager of the group? The first person people go to when they're upset? Ava again. Ava, you're just such a multi-talented girl. Well done. Okay. But here's the cool thing, right? All of these things, all these characteristics, personalities, they are actually gifts that God has given us. So let's have a quick look at two different Bible passages talking about all these gifts. So the first one, as I mentioned before, is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 11. It says this, there are different kinds of gifts, but they are all from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but all these ways are from the same Lord. And there are different ways that God works in people, but all these ways are from the same God. God works in us all in everything we do. Something from the Spirit can be seen in each person to help everyone. Now, we had a look at these this list of gifts that Paul gives last week in kids, the spiritual gifts. But just to recap the adults, here we go. We got wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and translation of tongues. Quite a big list there. If you don't know what any of those mean, I mean, the kids, I'm sure, have been listening so well in the kids' church the last few weeks. You can just go ahead and ask them. They'll give you the full theological breakdown. It'll be great. I hope. Okay, so, but here's the important part. Verse 11, it says, one spirit, the same spirit, does all these things. The spirit decides what to give each person. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds just like the master in that parable that we looked at who decided what to give each of his servants according to their abilities. And it's very much the same with the spirit. But I want you to notice something. Not all of us will have every single gift. Some people have heaps of gifts. Some of us will have a few, and that is actually totally okay. If we look at these two servants, right, remember what he said to both the servant with the five talents and the servant with the two? He said the same thing, didn't he? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've done well with this. Let's celebrate together, right? He says the same thing. He's equally as excited for both of these people. He's not more excited about the person with the five talents. He's not less excited about the person with two. And God's the same with us. As long as we are using our gifts, he is equally as excited with us, whether we have a couple or whether we have heaps or whether we have one. He just wants to see us use it. So we'll go through this passage as well. Romans 12, verse 6 to 8 says this. We all have different gifts. Each gift comes because of the grace that God gave us. If one has the gift of prophecy, he should use that gift with the faith he has. If one has the gift of serving, he should serve. If one has the gift of teaching, he should teach. If one has the gift of encouraging others, he should encourage. If one has the gift of giving to others, he should give freely. If one has the gift of being a leader, he should try hard when he leads. If one has the gift of showing kindness to others, that person should do so with joy. You see, kids, God has created each and every one of us with a particular plan and purpose in our lives. And he's given us these gifts, our personalities, our characteristics, our abilities, and our talents. And all he wants is for us to use them well. So for our speedsters, our fast runners, keep going. Run faster. Run further. I believe in you. I know that you can do it. It may hurt, but keep pushing forward. Our bakers, stop baking cookies. Start baking giant towers of cake with a chocolate fountain built into the middle of it, and then invite me to your house. I want some. I'm a sweet tooth, all right? Those who know me know that. But for those who are leaders, lead well. Don't lead your friend groups into places where they shouldn't be, but lead them well. For our people who are encouragers, don't get upset or annoyed that people come to you, but take it as the gift that God has given you to be an encouragement in people's lives. See, God has given us these gifts just like the master gave his servants the bags of silver. And we have a choice of how we can use those gifts. We can choose to be like the first two servants. And remind me, what did the first two servants do? Does anybody page? They invest the money, absolutely. And how do they invest the money? It says that they worked hard. They worked hard and they invested their money. And just like those servants, we can use our gifts, invest into the world with our gifts, and use that so that people can come to know Jesus. And when we do that, God is so happy. Remember what he said. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I'll give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. God wants to celebrate with us when we use our gifts and our talents for the kingdom of God. But more importantly, and this may sound scary, but I promise you it's so exciting. It is so exciting, is that he trusts us with more responsibility. When we bring one friend to know Jesus, God can trust us to use our gifts to bring more to know Jesus. When we've taught people well how to live a good life in accordance to the Bible, God knows that he can trust us to teach more. And that's what Jesus wanted from us, right? That was the last words in the book of Matthew. This is what he wanted us to do, and he's given us all of these gifts to do just that. But I know what you're thinking. And look, I agree with you, right? I know what you're thinking. It can be scary. I mean, what if I pray for healing for that person and they're not healed? What if I try to teach somebody something and I say the wrong thing? What if I encourage them and they think I'm a weirdo? What if I bake the chocolate cake that Aiden's asked me to bake and it falls apart? It would be a travesty. But kids, can I be honest with you? For the last few weeks, I've been absolutely terrified of coming up here. I mean, dealing with you guys is fun. It's great. These adults, I tell you, man, they are scary. They're watching me. They're probably judging me. Thank you, John. Thank you. Thank you. I love you too. All right. But it's terrifying, and I had a choice. I had a choice to make. See, I believe that God has given me this talent and he wants me to use it. But when Az and Beck approached me and said, hey, we want to do a kids takeover. Do you think you'd be able to do the message? I could go, no. No, I don't really want to do that. That's scary. I don't want to do that. I could have written a message that I wasn't proud of. I could have done any number of things to bury that talent, bury the gift that God had given me. And honestly, I probably would have been more comfortable that way. Truth be told. But why did I do that? Why was that the thought that went through my head? Because just like the third servant, I was afraid. The third servant, why did he bury his talent? Because he was scared that he would lose it. So I had a choice to make. But I decided, as you can see, to come up here and use this talent how God has asked me to use it. I decided not to be that third servant. Oh, thank you. The critics haven't come back yet, so we'll see how I did. But I could have been like the third servant, given into that fear and not come up here today. But I had a choice to make, and I decided that I needed to be like those first two servants, right? No matter how hard it is, I needed to work hard and invest the gifts that God has given me to come up here and speak. And boys and girls, I want to go back to the passage that started this all, the Great Commission, and I'm going to show you exactly why you do not need to be afraid when it comes to using your gifts. Here we go, one more time, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Here we go. So, go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you. So this is what we're using our gifts for. This is the Great Commission. It's exciting. But here's the important part. Here is why you never, ever have to be afraid. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of the world. That's Jesus talking there. And all Jesus is with us every single moment of our life. Every single moment. Not when just when things are going good, but when we're scared to use our talents, he's with us then too. So if you're ever finding yourself in fear, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen too, let me encourage you to give that fear to Jesus, just like Peter tells us to do in 1 Peter 5 verse 7. It says, give all your worries to him, that's Jesus. Why? Because he cares for you. Jesus loves us and he cares for us so, so much. And he asks one thing of us, that the gifts that he has given us, we use it to expand the kingdom of God. By inviting everyone that we know to come and have a relationship with Jesus. By bringing everybody home to be with Jesus. Jesus doesn't want us to live in that fear. We don't have to be afraid of losing our talents, our gifts. But rather, we can be like those first two servants who worked hard, and we can go into the world and invite everybody to have a relationship with Jesus. So whatever gifts God has given you, or it's the gift of healing, go and heal. If you're a speedster, man, run well, inspire others and point them to Jesus. If you're a leader, the natural born leader, the big dog of your group, lead well. Lead them in a way that honors God. If you're a phenomenal public speaker, a bit like Leah, yeah, use that gift and use it for the glory of God. Whatever it is, boys and girls, this is important. Whatever gift you have, Jesus asks us of one thing, and it's to use it well. And hey, adults, don't think that you're off scot-free either, all right? I am talking to the kids here, but let's be honest, us as adults, we're sometimes the worst for this. We have so many gifts and talents in our lives that we leave dormant. And part of that may actually be that you think like, oh, I mean, I'd be really good at that, but I just don't think I'd enjoy it. I don't think that that's for me. And I want to encourage you. We've actually Easter marked 1 year of me and Stacey as the kids directors here at Beacon Church. And before we started, I was living a very comfortable life. I was a full-time carpenter. I had served in youth ministry for many, many years. So, you know, I was sort of, you know, youth or nothing. Loved youth. And so Adam and Beck came up to us and they said, hey, would you consider being part of kids? And I said, no. Why would you even suggest that? That's silly. Because I was like, yeah, I mean, sure, maybe I'd be good at it. But I mean, man, I mean, kids have attitude. They're so full of sass. They're like little, I got in trouble by Paige in between services because I said all like kids are like booger factories. She said, not all of us. See, that's the sass I'm talking about, all right? And look, let me tell you the truth. When I joined kids, you know what I learned? I was right. They are. It's ridiculous. But I'll tell you the more important thing. God gave me so much purpose in kids ministry. And when I thought I wouldn't enjoy it, let me tell you, it is the favorite part of my week. These kids have taught me so much. And my heart is just to see them every single week grow closer and closer to Jesus. Are they chaotic? Oh, yes. Nothing makes me happier than seeing this next generation come to know Jesus. Thank you. So I'll be a fool, honestly, I would be not to invite you to join our kids team. Truly, I mean, I may be a bit biased, but truly I think it is one of the greatest ministries ever, right? In history. Sorry. All your other ministries are great, but... and I want to take a moment real quick to because there are a lot of people who are currently serving in our kids team. We love every single one of them. We have so many incredible youth who just bring such an energy, an older sibling kind of nature that takes care of these kids and brings so much fun and enjoyment. We have our spiritual grandmas and grandpas who come and encourage the kids that are just so full of wisdom. We have the parents who come and give back to the ministry that's investing in their kids and bringing that natural parental sense with them. We have our natural teachers who can just convey a message in such a way that every single kid will remember it. And we are just so grateful for every single one of these people. But the truth is, I'm going to be honest with you all, we don't have enough. We genuinely at the moment do not have enough leaders to fill every single spot that we want to fill. And it breaks my heart because there are so many things that we want to do in our kids ministry, but we just can't do it. So consider it. If you're in one of those categories, consider joining kids team. Come talk to myself or Stace. Even if you've got a friendly face with a little bit of technological skill, just a little bit. Maybe you can be part of our check-ins team, which currently has 2 people. It's a lot of gaps to fill. Just coming and being a friendly face for these families, making sure that they know that they're safe and checking their kids in. Maybe you're one of those people who just love being around babies. Just absolutely love being around babies. Come and take care of our little sparks so that every single week the parents know that their children are safe and they can come and enjoy the message. So think about it. And men, let me make this clear because I think men often, there's kind of the stigma around it that this is like a women's ministry, right? Kids ministry is, it's for the women, the mums. The mums can deal with the kids, right? The dads would come down here and, I don't know, cook steaks or something. But, I don't know. But let me tell you that it genuinely broke my heart as we started reaching out to churches and realizing that 90% of these kids pastors and directors are women and the men, that their partners, their husbands are not even involved. But the Bible places so much importance on the role of men in our families. Our children need the men as well. And we have some incredible men serving at the moment. We've got Ross, Wes, Danny, Paul, Johan, Noah, heaps of men. But I just wanted men, please don't just count yourself out because it's a women's ministry. It's not. Our children need the men too. But hey, there's this application. I'm not only trying to force you into kids' ministry, although please consider it. Come on, let's get these numbers up. All right. But kids isn't the only place to serve in church. If you're musically inclined, why not consider joining our worship team? If you're a barista, why not join the cafe team? Man, coffee is what gets us through the day, 90% of us, right? So come make us a good cup of coffee, please. If you're great at hospitality, you can just create, I don't know, a table full of nachos and just love watching people be happy, watching people eat. You know what I mean? Like a bit like ass, but why don't you consider starting a connect group so that people can continue connecting with each other throughout the week? And hey, it's not just about in the church either, although it's a great place to start. But this week, adults, in your families, your friend groups, and in your work, how can you use the gifts that God has given you for the glory of God? How can you encourage your friends, your sports teams this week? How can you lead your teams in a way that's not just good in the corporate sense, but in a way that honors God? How can we do that this week? Don't let it wait. God has given you these gifts, these talents, these abilities. Don't bury them. Please don't bury them. We have work to do. The Great Commission, we have a world to save. God has given you gifts to work towards the Great Commission. So let's use them. And let's use them well. Is that cool, boys and girls? Ladies and gentlemen? Spectacular. Well, hey, well, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that we get to come together, Lord. That we get to have all of our generations in one room. Father, we get to learn from each other. That we get to see what being kids does every single week, Father, because we're so much more than babysitters. But we are raising this next generation in the Word of God. So, Father, we just thank you so much. And, Lord, this week as we go into our world, Father, will you highlight to us our gifts? Tell us, remind us of the gifts that might be lying dormant at the moment, Father, and teach us how to use them to honor and glorify your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, hey, normally up in kids, because we are bringing the kids service down to you today. Normally up in kids, we would now break off into tribe time, right? Where we discuss some questions. We go a little bit deeper with what we've learned. And so we are now going to set up a Q&A. No, I'm kidding. What we're going to do is that we are going to quickly have a few questions come up on the screen. And I just want you on your drive home today, around the table at lunch, around the dinner table, whether you have kids or not, together, as a couple, as a family, go through these questions. First one, nice little easy icebreaker for you, all right? Everybody can answer this one. What was your favorite part of the parable today? Could be the oversized sunglasses, the bags with dollar signs on them like they just robbed a bank. All right, what gifts has God given you? Particularly, what gifts are lying dormant in your life at the moment? And finally, how can you use those gifts for God this week? Not in future, this week. Starting now, how can you use those gifts to glorify God?
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.